Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sukkah, daf Yud Gimel. On Yud Beis, we're starting from the Mishnah, and we're going to be a similar topic that we've been discussing the past couple of days, but we're going to be discussing in more detail, and that is the topic of Tasa Balama Na'asui. We go back to the Mishnah. Start from the Mishnah. Chavila Kash, Chavila Eitim, Chavila Yizradim, Ein Misachichin Behem. If I take a bundle of straw, or bundles of wood, or bundles of zradim, some other type of vegetation. So, you can't use that as chach. Why not? Meaning, if it complies with what we've been discussing the past couple of days, it grows from the ground, it's detached from the ground, it's not makabel tumah, it's still in its organic state. So, what's wrong with it? So, it's bundled. So, only prompts the next question. Okay, so it's bundled. So, I tied it up. So what? So, we're going to discuss. That's going to be a good part of our gemara and a good part of today's daf. So, now, once you untie it, so then it's fine. Meaning, obviously, from the Mishnah, the whole problem is that it's tied up. But once it's untied, once I unbundled the bundle, so the Mishnah says at that point in time, it's fine. We're going to discuss the kulan ksheros ledefanos, and it's all good for the walls. Meaning, when it comes to the walls, there's no requirement for the walls. There's no concern for the walls. Rashi tells us I lost count, but we've seen this idea come up again and again. The walls don't have a shem sukkah, meaning the walls are just a hechitim, so the walls are just there to facilitate. The sukkah is the al shem schach, it's because the schach lays on the top. So in terms of what meets the criteria of schach, whatever has rules, regulations, limitations, so that's the schach, that's the horizontal stuff on the top. But when it comes to the walls, the walls are not subject to any types of rules, regulations. You have anything which actually will support, that's good. Rashi does note, and it's a point that we could have made a week ago, but Rashi does note, it is interesting because when we refer to the sukkah, we said sukkah has three walls. So how do we know that? So if you remember back on Daf Vav, so the Gemara learned it out from the multiple times that the Torah says the word sukkah. Sukkah, sometimes mole, sometimes chaser. So, and that was getting us to the point where we learned how many walls there are on the sukkah. So it's a little bit strange. Rashi notes this. It's a little bit strange that every single time we talk about sukkah is al shem schach. And meanwhile, the halacha of the walls comes from the word sukkah itself. But Rashi says, okay, I'm aware of that. But Rashi says, but that's just a drasha. In fact, if you take a look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says it's true that udenafkalan defanus mi besukkah sukkos mi yisur de kray alfinan. That's just simply because the Torah expended more words. Velo mi mashma usa, but it's not from the actual word itself. The word itself is not what it's creating. The drasha is just the simple multiple usages of the word. Hilkach sukkos tas debaspecha migarncha aschach ahudekai. But in terms of the actual sukkah, it's going on the schach. Okay, adkan. Fine. So we learned the rule in our Mishnah. The rule in our Mishnah is schach can't be bundled. Schach has to be unbundled. So you put the schach on top. If it's bundled, it's no good. If it's unbundled, it's fine. There's no limitation for the walls. Okay. And obviously, from this point forward, what we need to do is we need to explain why. Why should that be? What's wrong with bundling the schach on the top? What could possibly be the problem with it? So I'm Rav Yaakov. So the Gemara is going to get to this point in a somewhat circuitous manner. Meaning, we're going to try to do now is just explain our Mishnah. But what the Gemara is going to do is give us this Mishnah that we're learning right now in Daf Yud Beis, and we're going to have a Mishnah that we're going to learn a couple days from now in Daf Tesvav. The Mishnah on Tesvav talks about the haystack. The case of the haystack we've gone over before, where basically I have a haystack, it's a full haystack, and what I do is I hollow it out from underneath, or from the side. And so basically what I do is I create a sukkah. In other words, the hay on the very top of the haystack serves as my schach, the hay on the sides of the haystack serves as my walls, and I create a sukkah. Good? No, not good. In fact, the Mishnah later on in Daf Tesvav says, ain't a sukkah. It's not a good sukkah. And the reason why is because of the rule that we went over yesterday of Tasa V'lama Na'asui. Because there now, I didn't make my schach. My schach was there already. So therefore, there was no active making of the schach. So therefore, that's not a good sukkah. So here we have our Mishnah, the bundling Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Daf Tesvav, the haystack Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to, so let's see all this inside. And again, the whole point we're trying to make now over the next 20, 30 lines of Gemara is basically, what's wrong with bundling your schach? So I'm Rav Yaakov, Shamat Menedir Rav Yochanan Tarte. So Rav Yaakov says, I have an admission to make. I learned two things from Rav Yochanan. One is our mission, and the other is the mission on Daf Tezvav. Now, I was given by Rav Yochanan two mishnayos and two explanations. One explanation is Gzeres Otsar, a decree, a rabbinic decree, because of an otzer, of a storehouse. I'll explain that better in just a moment. And another explanation of Tasav Alamana Asui. And here's what I don't know. So I have two Mishnayos, Mishnah here and Mishnah Daf Tezvav, the bundle Mishnah and the haystack Mishnah. And I have two explanations, a rabbinic decree explanation, and Tasav Alamana Asui, which is not a rabbinic decree. That is a psul d'oraisa, that is a biblical disqualification, that you didn't make your schach and the schach was just made on its own. And here's what I don't know at Mitzvah of Yaakov. Two Mishnayos, two explanations, and I don't know how to create this puzzle. I don't know which explanation goes on which Mishnah. Rav Yaakov admits. Now, I'm Rav Yirmiya Nechzeanan. So Rav Yirmiya says this shouldn't be that hard. In fact, Rav Yirmiya says, let's figure it out. Well, first of all, even if we're guessing, we only have it's not that bad. It's 50-50. But okay, well, obviously, let's do better than guess. So Rav Yirmiya says, let's figure it out. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. I'm Rav Yochanan. Now, what Rav Yirmiya has in his arsenal in terms of figuring it out is that he's got another statement made by Rav Yochanan. The statement goes like this: Mipnei Ma Amru. This is great. Meaning, this is actually an explanation of our Mishnah. Mipnei Ma Amru Chavili Kash VeChavili Etzim VeChavili Zranim Emesachem Behem. Why is it that I can't bundle the schach and put it on the top of the sukkah? I'll tell you why. Because you're coming home late from the field at night, and you have a bundle on your shoulder, a bundle of straw. The straw is wet, and I don't want to bring it into the silo, into the storage house, because it's still wet. I need it to dry, so what do? So I throw it on top of the sukkah. And the reason why I'm putting on my sukkah is so that it dries off. And now what happens is, a couple weeks later, a couple months later, I look up and I say, you know what? Done. So the sukkah, look, I didn't mean for that to happen, but okay, I'm ready to set my sukkah. And the schach is laying on the top, and fine, and let it be done. And the Torah says, Taseh v'lomana asui. Meaning, how did the hay get on the top? It got there. I didn't put it there. Now, I'll explain that better in just a moment, because you did put it there, but... Okay. So it got there, and it's Tasa V'lomana Asui, right? I'm sorry, and the Torah is demanding Tasa V'lomana Asui, and meanwhile, it just got there. Fine. Now...
Could have been just saying that this was for the sake of Sukkah?
Okay, hold on. I'll come back. So, but let's just finish the thought, and then we'll explain it a little bit better. So, what now Rav Yirmiya is doing is, so now I know that this Mishnah, the bundling Mishnah, is all a function of Gzeira, meaning it's a rabbinic decree. So now that I know that, so I have two Mishnahs and I have two explanations of Rav Yochanan. So here it's a simple process of elimination. Once I have the explanation of Gzeira on our Mishnah, Mishum Gzeret Sotzer, Mishum Tasav Lamanasui. So now I turn to the Mishnah later on Daf Tezvav, the Haystack Mishnah, and that's simply a function of Tasav Lamanasui. Good. That's what Rav Yirmiya does. Rav Yirmiya solves the riddle for us. Okay, let's take a moment. Let's go back and let's just think about this for just a second in terms of what is wrong with the bundling. What happened was is that the person had the bundle on the shoulder, he threw it up on the sukkah in order so that it dry, and then weeks later, months later, he says, okay, good, sukkah. And it's no good because of this rule of Tasav Alamana Asui. So now, what does that mean? Does that mean that when you put the schach on top of the sukkah, it has to be L'shem sukkah? So we should know better. Meaning, let's go back a couple days ago in the daf, on daf test, and we saw together machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, it is true, it is the opinion of Beis Shammai that when you throw schach on top of the sukkah, it has to be L'shem sukkah. But that shita's Beis Shammai. That's not Beis Hillel's opinion. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. What did Beis Hillel say? Sukkah Yishana, you have an old sukkah. It's fine, it works. So let's just speak this out. I'm not trying to create a problem. I'm just trying to get more clarity on this issue. Beis Hillel says that you don't have to put the schach up l'shem sukkah. So what's the difference now between the Beis Hillel position, which is obviously the one we adopt, and this position over here, which is I threw the bundle on top of the sukkah, and I had no intent to put it up there. Just I wanted it to dry, and our Mishnah says, oh, that's no good. Well, why not? Meaning, There doesn't have to be a lishma aspect to the sukkah. So Rashi explains, and this is really the basic explanation. Look, it doesn't have to be lishma. That of course is true. That's Beis Hillel's position. It doesn't have to be lishma, but it has to be a hut that's created as a hut, right? The way Rashi explains, it's l'shem tzel. That when I create the hut, I have to create the hut. I don't have to have sukkahs in mind. I don't have to have any religious thoughts in mind, but it has to be a hut that was intended to have been made as shelter. If I don't make it as such, it's therefore not a sukkah. There doesn't have to be a lishma aspect to it, but there does have to be I'm fashioning a hut aspect to it. So here in our case, when you take the haystack, that's on the bundled haystack that's on your shoulder, and it's wet and you want it to dry and you throw it on top of the sukkah, so essentially all you're doing is basically, I'm storing it there. Okay, now comes weeks later, months later, now comes sukkahs, and now you say to yourself, hey, let's use that. Well, if you don't manipulate it, and you just leave it as it is, it wasn't even made l'shem tzel. You didn't put it up there as shelter. You put it up there just so it dry. And now you de facto want to now convert it into a sukkah, now you violated the issue of tasa v'lomina asuri. You didn't make it, it was made. Okay, that's the basic understanding of the concern of Gzeres Otzer. Mind you, however, now let's go one step further. Meaning what we're saying now, what our Mishnah is saying is, even if you had in mind that I'm throwing it up l'shem tzel, but it's bundled, it's no good. Why not? Gzeira. Meaning that's the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah's point is that even if you had the right kavana, but still, once the chachamim make a gzeira, lo plug, there's not going to be any distinction what your intent was. Once it's bundled, it simply is no good. Okay, so that's our Mishnah. And then the Mishnah on Daf Tezvav, about the haystack, there's only one issue over there, and that one issue is Tasa V'lomana Asui. And it's a psul d'oraisa.
It would seem to me it would have been much easier to not give a Tasa V'lomana Asui from the haystack, which is...
Rashi spends a lot of time. Right, I didn't go through all this in great detail. But Rashi goes through a lot of time trying to help us understand how could you have even thought that the Mishnah on Tesvav is an Otsar issue and our Mishnah is a Tasav Lamanasu issue. It's a very good point. Rashi does spend a lot of time trying to help us understand it, but our time is limited, and it's a Havamina. And okay, let's not that it's unimportant, but you know. I gotta move. Okay, so the Gemara says. I'm sorry. The Rav Yaakov, Hachta Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Lo Shmelei. Now let's go back to Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov didn't figure any of this out. Rav Yaakov was left with two Mishnahs, two explanations, and he didn't know how to match the explanation to the Mishnah. I understand if all you had was that one statement of Rav Chiya bar Abba. Rav Chiya bar Abba. So wouldn't life have been great for Rav Yaakov? So the Gemara says, yeah, of course it would have been great. He didn't know it. In other words, he didn't have the tradition of Rav Chiya bar Abba. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi Atu Chavile Kashve Chavile Etz Mishum Gzeres Otzer Ika Mishum Tasev Lo Manasu Leika VaChote Begadish Mishum Tasev Lo Manasu Ika Mishum Gzeres Otzer Leika. So the Gemara just left struggling. Rav Ashi says, I don't understand. Meaning we have two explanations. Can't we say that our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Daf Tezvav really is grounded in both concerns? Meaning, again, look at our Mishnah. You take the bundle, you throw it on top of the sukkah. I didn't put it up there, l'shem tzel. I just put it up there to dry. And then here we go. A couple weeks later, I'm sitting under the sukkah. It's no good. Why? Tasav l'manasui. So can it be that our Mishnah is both a gzeres otzer and a function of tasav l'manasui? And let's go to the Mishnah on Tezvav. You clear out the haystack. Okay, you clear out the haystack. Can't it be that there's a gzera, meaning let's say my intention was the right intention. And let's say even when I formed the haystack, I did it so that it would be a sukkah. But can we also say that there's a gzera aspect over there in that Mishnah as well? Meaning, why are we so convinced that our Mishnah is strictly a gzera Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Daf Tezvav is strictly a psul d'oraisa of tasav l'mana asri? So the Gemara says, Am l'cha, so the answer of Rav Ashi, I'll tell you what's compelling us to say this. Hacha diktani mesachim behem l'cha tchila hu. De'ein misachachin mishum gzeres otzer ha'daraisa shaper dami hasam diktani ein sukkah afil di'evim midaraisa nami ein sukkah. So what's compelling us is the wording, the formulation of the Mishnayos. You look at our Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis. Our Mishnah says that you can't put bundled schach on top And the Mishnah's terminology is Ein Misachachin Behem. Right? Which, loosely translated, is you shouldn't do it. Don't put schach on it. Meaning it sounds like from our Mishnah, you listen carefully, nothing fundamentally wrong with the sukkah, it's just that you don't do it. You look on the Mishnah on Tezvav, the Mishnah says, Achoteit Begadish, you hollow out the haystack, Alasoslo sukkah, Eina sukkah. It's not a sukkah. Meaning the Mishnah on Tezvav is actually talking about the fundamental nature of the sukkah. It simply is no good. It's by nature disqualified. So the formulation of the Mishnah is really what is compelling us to explain that our Mishnah is a Gzera Mishnah, and the Mishnah on Tezvav is a Psul Daraisa. Okay, Adkan. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Schach itself. So we have just finished learning. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. The schach itself is a schach itself can't be bundled mishum gzera. We also learned in yesterday's daf, and we're going to continue this discussion right now, that your schach cannot be makabel tumah. It can't be susceptible to tumah. So and that means once they take wood and turn it into a kli, any type of functional kli, so then it's once it's makabel tumah, it can't be used as schach. Now let's remind ourselves, what do we know about wood? Wood, in terms of the world of tumah tahara, only becomes a kli when it has the base kibble. It has to have a toch. So in other words, if I make a wooden table, a wooden desk, well, table may be different because it has a functional use to it, but in other words, I make a wooden knife, right? So that's a wooden rod. So that's not going to be mekabel tumah for the reason that it doesn't have a toch, it doesn't have an inside. Wood has to have a toch in order for it to be mekabel tumah. Metal, on the other hand, it doesn't follow that rule. When it comes to metal, if it's a knife, if it's a rod, as long as it's a kli, as long as it's a utensil, it's going to be makabel tumah. Fine. So now that because we're talking about wood, so a wood would only be disqualified only if it's a wooden utensil which has a toch. Okay? We'll talk tomorrow about nesarim. We'll talk about beams and boards. I told you the 2x4 discussion is coming up in tomorrow's daf yadala. Okay. I mean, we're still back on your base, but okay, that's our problem. So anyway, arrows, okay, you ever go to the museum, you see those, the arrows that were made? So the arrows have two parts to it. It has the branch, the stick, and it's got the metal tip, the metal spear at the end. So obviously now the two are formed separately and they're combined together. So the way we're going to describe them now, these arrows, there's going to be male arrows and female arrows, just simply because one is going to be made in which the end of it goes into the metal spear, so that's the male, and the other one in which the metal spear is going to go into the actual wooden arrow. In other words, there's a hollow end carved out at the edge of the arrow so that the metal spear can go in. Okay, so the big difference between them is going to be whether one's going to be makabel tumah and one's not going to be makabel tumah, and the one that is going to be makabel tumah obviously cannot be used as schach. The Gemara makes this very point. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, sichacha bechitzin zecharin. So if I make him with male arrows, we're just talking about the wood, we're not talking about the metal spear. But the wood stick, if it's zachar, if it's male, meaning it doesn't have a toch, so ksheira. So that's fine, because it's wood, and even though it was formed and fashioned, but it doesn't have a toch, it doesn't have an inside, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. B'nekevos, but if it's female, it's a psula, so it has a toch, and therefore it's mekabel tumah, and therefore it's pasul. He can't use it as chach. So the Gemara says, now both these points of Yudam Arav seem to be pretty obvious. I mean, obvious once you know the basic rules of tumah tahara, he doesn't seem to be saying much. So So the Gemara just simply explains, I had a havamina that once they can't use the female arrow, so therefore it should be maybe a gzera, I shouldn't use the male arrows. Okay, that's the... So what Rav Yehuda is telling us is no such gzera. And b'nekevas psula pshita. Now the female arrows, again, that's pasha. It has a toch. It's mekabel tumah. What's there to talk about? So the Gemara says, I might have thought there was a principle, and the principle is the following. Yes, there's a toch in the wooden arrow. But what do I do immediately after I make the toch? I fill it. In other words, I take the metal spear, and I stick it into the wooden thing. And I might have thought, as a rule, that once I'm making a toch, but its point is to be filled. So maybe that's not considered a toch. Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, no, we don't make such a rule. Amar Rabba Barbachan Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay. Now, a word on flax. Once again, I'm going to admit my ignorance on flax. I will show off my ignorance on flax today in ways which I never would have imagined. But okay, I need to go on a field trip. I really do, because we talk about flax all the time in the Gemara, and I am not sure what I'm talking about. I know it's linen. I know you can't wear wool and linen together. I just don't know enough about how it grows. And okay, it's obviously an issue of mine. You can't use flax for schach. Now, let's think about this. Why not? Okay, what's wrong? Meaning, let's go back to our basic rules. Grows from the ground, okay, detached from the ground, not processed into a kli, should be okay. So, Rashi over here writes, the problem with flax is that it's subject to tumah. Really? So Rashi says, you bet. Rashi says that flax is subject to tumas nega. Meaning when we get to Tazria, Mitzara.
That's the Masechet Shabbat, actually. You can't use it as a wick.
Okay, that's correct, that's correct. But here we're talking about now in the context of Schach. So what's the disqualification? The disqualification is that it's subject to Tumas Negayim. In other words, if Tsaras afflicts the flax, so it's going to be subject to Tumas Nega. That's how Rashi understands it, that's how Rashi explains it. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam gives a totally different explanation in terms of what exactly is the disqualification of flax vis-a-vis the schach. The problem, says the Rambam, is that once flax gets a little bit processed, so it doesn't look like it's growing from the ground anymore. Meaning the whole point of the schach is that it has to look like vegetation. In other words, you got to look up and you got to see green. It doesn't have to be green. Don't get me wrong. But in other words, it's got to be something that is obviously growing from the ground. Once you start processing flax a little bit, it looks like a synthetic product. It doesn't look like it grew from the ground. That's the Rambam's understanding of why flax is as qualified as your schach. Okay, we have Rashi, we have the Rambam. There's actually more to talk about this, but anyway. Okay, that's the problem. Both according to Rashi and the Rambam, however, regardless of what your explanation is, that's only if we started the processing of the flax. But if flax is in its raw and unnatural state, so then it can be used as schach. Both according to Rashi and according to the Rambam. Why? Because the Gemara is about to tell us that that's so. So whatever explanation you want to give in the Gemara, you can't ignore the Gemara. Yes, sir?
Yeah, bamboo shoots have holes in it.
Correct, but that's natural.
You carve it out, that's no good.
In other words, a kli is something where we process it, we make it. Okay, so that's the story regarding flax. So basically now, in its very raw state and totally unprocessed, it's fine. Once we start processing it, so it's not fine. The only thing that we're going to be discussing over the course of the next couple of minutes in the Gemara is how much processing are we talking about where once we started processing a little bit, it now is no longer going to be fine. We're looking for that point of demarcation of where it's totally unprocessed to where it's processed a little bit. Okay. And again,
that's unprocessed flax.
Unprocessed flax. Oh, looks good. Looks like it would be very good for schach. Okay, I'm in. It looks good. Okay, now the processing of flax. So once again, I get to show off my ignorance. Okay, it gets soaked, it gets pounded, and it gets combed. Okay. I know how to say the words, meaning I'm good like that. But in terms of like I don't really have any real real experience with this, so I'll just say the words. I'll pretend like I know what's going on. Okay, good. So we start with the Gemara. So Sachach Amrav, I'm sorry, Amarav Abrachan Amrav Yochanan. Sachach Banitze Pishtan. So if you take schach anitze pishtan, if you take a look at Rashi, what is wrong with it? How far in the processing has it gone? How nishal pishtan mishis lavnu la'achar shetiknu b'masreik. So he combed it already. So that means he did a lot of things with it already. You soaked it, you pounded it, you combed it. So basically you processed it. Psula, it's no good. It's no longer fit to be used as schach. Again, according to Rashi, the problem is, it's subject to Tumas Nega. According to the Rambam, at this point in time, it looks totally synthetic. It doesn't look like it grew from the ground. Behutzne Pishan Kshera. Now, Hutzne, Rashi explains, raw, totally unprocessed. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hutznei, nothing. Meaning, Dahainu Kishuhu Behutzin Shalom. It's still in the stalk. So the flax is totally unprocessed. Fine. That's Kasha. Hushni Pishtan Ein Yodea Mahu. So, and in terms of Hushni. So in other words, I have extremes. Anitze, totally processed. Hutzni, totally unprocessed. Totally processed, no good. Totally unprocessed, fine. Now there's a middle state, which is Hushani. Ein Yodea Mahu. Now, I don't know whether or not it's good for Schach or not good for Schach. Okay. And I'm going to be even further honest with you. This is the Gemara talking, not me. I've already admitted my ignorance. But the Gemara now is saying, and look, even in this middle stage of Hushani, I don't even know what stage we're at right now. Hushani Karile. If it was, let's say, pounded, but not combed, is that considered Hushani? Valtari Velodai Kutsani Karile. But let's say it was just soaked. Soaking is stage one in the processing. Let's say it was just soaked. Maybe that's still considered totally unprocessed, even though I started soaking it. And maybe that would be okay for schach. Or maybe no. Maybe soaking is already the beginning of the processing, where now it's in this middle category of hushani. Granted, I don't know what even its status is, whether it's good or whether it's not good, but maybe soaking is already now in the middle category. So Amar Rav Yehuda, sorry, period. Okay. So, here's what we know, here's what we don't know. Flax, once it's processed, cannot be used as schach. Unprocessed can be used as schach. Again, the reason why, as I pointed out a moment ago, Rashi says because it's subject to tumah. The Rambam says because it looks too synthetic, it doesn't look like something that grew from the ground. In terms of when it's somewhere between processed and unprocessed, the Gemara says, I don't know whether you can or cannot use it for schach. The Gemara admits it doesn't know. And then the Gemara further admits it doesn't even know when it falls in this middle category. Soaked, maybe. The Gemara says, I don't know. Next halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda Hani Shushay V'Shevat Srei Misachachin Bahen. Types of vegetations. Rashi explains what's unique about these vegetations. It's not, we don't eat them, it's eaten by the animals, but it's not considered ocha. Remember, anything which is Mekabel Tumah cannot be used as chach. Ochel, food that's edible to us, cannot be used as schach. Meaning we can't take a pile of oranges and throw them on top of the sukkah and say and call it schach. Why not? Because it's edible. It's food. Food is subject to tumah.
But if it's not machshir, it's not subject to tumah.
Yeah, I was curious. Right. Meaning if it's a food that's not mukshir lekabel tumah. Okay. And what happens when it rains?
Possible.
It's not Beratzon. Okay, you know a little bit of information. Okay, it's a reasonable question. I should know. I don't know. Okay, fine. But here, it's animal food. It's not even consumable by humans. So that's fine. Meaning that's not considered ochel. It's not considered mekabel tumah, and so that's fine. So, that's exactly what the Gemara is telling us. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hani Shushay V'Shevat Srei, Mesachachim Mehem. Whatever it is, it's eaten only by animals, you could use it for schach. So, Abaye Amar B'Shushay, Mesachachim B'Shevat Srei, Lo Mesachachim. And Abaye comes up with a split decision. Well, what's the problem? So, my Tama came into Sari Rechayu Shavik Lehu V'Nafik. The latter vegetation, you tell me what it is, I don't know. I mean, Rashi gives me names, but that doesn't help me. Whatever it is. How does he translate it? Okay. Okay. Whatever. It's a type of vegetation that gives off a foul odor. And because it gives off a foul odor, the problem is that if I use that for my schach, we're going to go into our sukkah, and it's going to be a bad stench, and we're going to leave. And as we discussed earlier in the Masechta,
it's anise.
Anise.
Smell.
Okay.
Smell.
Wormwood. Okay. Okay. All this is wonderful. Means little to me. But okay. Anyway, the anitz, whatever. So the point is that it gives off a foul odor. It's no good. We learned earlier in the Masechta, dira srucha. Once you have a foul smelling sukkah, so then people are not going to want to sit in it, and it disqualifies. We touched on earlier in the Masechta as it's a psul d'oraisa, psul d'rabbanan. Okay, but anyway, but that's a bias split decision. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rabba. We're on the top of your Gemara Aleph. We start with today's daf. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rabba. Ani Hizmi. Vehigi Mistachim Behem. Okay, Hizmi Vehigi comes up in the Gemara all the time. It's like thorns, thistles. Okay, it has thorns in it. Well, so what? Meaning, it's not edible. It's Rashi says they're types of sneh. It's a type of thorn bush. You're putting up a schach, it's fine, it's not a problem. So Abaye Amar, so once again Abaye comes up with a split decision. Behizmi mistachachin, behigi lo mistachachin. Okay. Yes, by hizmi, no by higi. So my time, I kevin denatri tarfayu shavik lavanafik. Again, there's a similar consideration. That when I make schach with a higi, so it's like, remember the ferns back up north, the pines that back up north? And those little needles keep falling down. And the problem is that if I use that for schach, the needles are going to keep falling down, regularly fall off, and I'm going to not enjoy sitting in the sukkah as I'm being showered by needles of pine. That's not going to be enjoyable. And on top of that, also, it's going to lose its mass, right? Correct? Okay, that's another consideration. Okay, so in other words, simply, Abai says that's why it's no good.
Shouldn't Abai's logic apply to the walls also?
Yeah, well, only because the Gemara is just contextually talking about schach. Meaning, you may be right. Maybe the same thing be true by walls as well. But just the, you know, the right now, the topic du jour is schach. Am Rav Gidol, Am Rav, Hai Afkusa de Dikla Mistachin Behu. Okay, Afkusa de Dikla, palm tree. Now, the palm tree over here, we're talking about not the actual trunk of the tree. Hard to imagine. I mean, we're surrounded by palm trees, although I'm sure our palm tree is not exactly the same as theirs in terms of species, but whatever the case is, fine. But we're talking about really the offshoots of the palm tree. Now, the offshoots of the palm tree, you could use as schach. Why not? Okay, the bamboo is very popular as schach, although not anymore. The rollout mats now is, I think, taken over. I've gone back to natural. I'm back to the fronds. Whatever. They're very good. But anyway, so you could use the shoots of the palm tree. Now, what's the problem? Alpha gav de agide. Now they're bound together. Okay, meaning, and again, I can only try to describe this, but basically, at one point, let's say the base, all these shoots are tied together. They're not tied together; they're just simply connected, and then the shoots come off. So basically, almost like an octopus, if you want to try to give yourself a visual. So basically, at one point they are connected, but then they shoot off of one another. The shoots shoot off of one another. Okay. What might I have thought? Let's go back to the beginning of today's daf. Right? I might have thought this might fall under the category of bundled schach. And we learned it's a gzeira de rabbanan. You cannot use bundled schach, even if you have the best of intention. You can't use bundled schach. So I might have thought that the shoots that are connected at the base falls under this category of bundles chach and therefore is no good. Explains the Gemara, it's good. Why? Because eged bidei shemayim lo shmei eged. This is a natural bundling. I didn't do this. This is naturally formed. A naturally formed bundle does not qualify as a bundle. Af agav dehadar agiluhu eged bechad lo shmei eged. And then the Gemara goes one step further in terms of being lenient. The Gemara says, let's say I tied up on the other end. That's not considered bundled. Bundled means I tie it. It is man-made tied on both ends, on both sides, so that I can pick it up and I can carry it.
Here it's one thing.
Here it's already bound up on one side. All I'm doing is just securing the other side. That doesn't qualify as an eged. Consequently, it is not. There's no violation of the gzeres otzar. I'm Rav Chista, I'm Ravina Bar Shila, Hani Dukre Dekanim Sachem Behu. The Gemara gives over here a very similar statement to Kre Dekane, a different type of shoot, of offshoot. Alpha Gav Dagida Ninu Eged B'Dei Shemayim Lo Shmei Eged. Again, the same point. This is a natural bundling. This happens on its own. Nature took care of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of this. You didn't do anything. Alpha Gav Dahadu Agid Lohu Eged B'Chad Lo Shmei Eged. And even though I did tie it up on one end, but once again, tying it up on the other end, that doesn't qualify as an Eged. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara says, I'm going to quote a Braisa, which is going to make the very same point. Kanim V'Du Kanim Esachim Behu. So the Gemara says, Kanim V'Du Kanim. So if I have stalks and I have dekanim, so then I could use it as chach. So the Gemara says, kanim shita. Now in the Braisa, kanim, I mean, what more classic an example can you give? Why would the Braisa need to tell me, oh, you know, you can make schach with kanim? Of course I knew that. So the Gemara explains, they have a kanim shel du kranim, misachim behem. So the Gemara is going to edit the Braisa just a little bit. Yeah, the point of the Braisa is that even though it is du kranim, again, it's shoots which are connected on one side naturally, it's fine. Even though we have a gzeres otzar, but this is a natural connection, this is not man-made, and therefore it's fine. Moving on. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila Hani, Mararisa Da'agma Adam Yotzeh Mei Medei Chavasa BePesach. We are going to go off on a tangent. The reason why we're off on this tangent, Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, who we just quoted earlier regarding the bundling. So now we're going to be discussing in the context, we're going to make quote him in another statement regarding Marar on Pesach. There's a mitzvah to eat Marar on Pesach. Nowadays we don't have the carbon Pesach. So the mitzvah of Marar nowadays is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It is downgraded to a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Okay, what is maror? The Mishnah Pesachim tells us that there are five grains of vegetables that qualify as maror. One of them is actually maror. It's called maror. All right, two of them we have a good idea of what they are. Three of them we don't really know what they are. So we limit ourselves on Pesach to either eating horseradish or lettuce. Romaine is the popular choice. But anyway, Hani Marisa Dagma. So if you take the Mara that comes from the swamp, Adam Yosebi Amidei Chavasa BePesach, that's great. You'll fulfill your obligation of Mara. Meisve, the Gemara challenges, Ezov. Velo, in other words, there's a mitzvah to take Ezov. Certain areas in the Torah, demands that we take Ezov. Recently we talked about the different times in the Torah where we need to do so. Okay, Baraduma. Carbon Pesach by Yitzias Mitzrayim, Mitzorah. Okay, fine. A lot of times where we're told in the Torah to take Ezov. Ezov, it's got to be Ezov, and not Lo Ezov Yavam, Velo Ezov Yisheshbo. Sorry, Velo Ezov Kuchli, Velo Ezov Midbari, Velo Ezov Rami, Velo Ezov Sheishlo Shem Levai. It's got to be the generic Ezov, and it can't be a subspecies of Ezov. All these different types of Ezovs, okay, are no good, because they're subspecies. And you need the generic Ezov. So Amar Abaye, so the Gemara is really bothered by a question. We just said that swamp maror works and satisfies your obligation of maror on Pesach. Isn't that a subspecies? Meaning the Torah is asking us to eat on Pesach the generic maror. And meanwhile, Rav Chista quotes the name of Ravina Bar Shila, that if I eat the swamp maror, that's fine. Okay? Isn't that a violation of subspecies of Shem Levi, which the Gemara told us in the world of Ezov is no good? I'm Rabbi Koshen Ishtana Shmo Konam Torah Uvasa Torah V'Ikpidu Allah B'Yadu Sheisho Shem Levi V'Hani Lo Nishtana Shemai Konam Torah Klal. So the Gemara says you got to know etymology. You really have to know etymology. Meaning if before the Torah was given, there was a generic species, there was a subspecies, and the Torah says, I want the generic, so you know that the Torah is basically saying is, I want the generic, I don't want the subspecies. But if prior to the Torah was given, there was no generic and subspecies, so could very well be that the Torah was a makpid. The Torah just simply said maror, and it happens to be that this maror goes out in the swamp. But still, this before the Torah was given, this wasn't a declarative subspecies of the generic, therefore it's fine. So in other words, the first answer given by Abaye is, you have to know the etymology. And you have to know the history. Rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. Hani Marisa Stama Shemayu V'Haida Karale Marisa Dagma Mishim Demishtakach Ba'agma. A second possible answer is that this is not a subspecies. It grows in the swamp. We call it swamp maror, but not because it's a subspecies, simply because that's where you're going to find it. In other words, where am I going to find maror? Go to the swamp. But it's not a subspecies. That's answer number two. Okay.
So it's more than one species because it listed five of them, no?
Yeah, one of the notes on the DAF noted that, right, there are five different species, so it's a little bit funny that we're... The Gemara over here is ruling out a subspecies, and meanwhile, there are four other species you could choose from. Amar Rav Chiste, Eged Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. Okay, the rules of bundling. Okay, we've learned in our Mishnah bundling is bad. Okay, because Exerah Derabbanan, that once I bundle together, I cannot use Nischach. In other areas in the Torah, bundling is good. Or not good, but say it better, required. It's a mitzvah. So now the question of the question that we discussed in today's daf is what is considered an aguda, meaning how many do I have to put together in order for it to be an eged? Vis-a-vis our Mishnah, it would mean that it's no good, meaning I can't use it for schach anymore. Vis-a-vis the mitzvahs where eged is required, so when is it considered that I fulfilled the requirement of eged? And for this, we turn to a Mishnah in Parah. The Mishnah in Parah discusses the mitzvah of Paraduma, where we take a bundle of Azov, we dip it into the water that has in it the Afer Parah, and we sprinkle. We don't do anything. The Kohanim sprinkle on the person who is Tamei Meis. That's on day 3 and day 7, and he tovels on the mikvah on day 7, and good. And that is the Tahara process. But meanwhile, he's got to take, we're now focusing on one aspect of the process, and that is the bundling of the Azov. So how many does he need to bundle? Amar Rav Chista, Ige Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. Eged Shalosh Shmei Eged. Lo Shmei Eged. Shalosh Shmei Eged. One is not a bundle. So if I take one stalk and tie it up, pretty intuitive, pretty self-evident. That's not a bundle. Three, for sure, is a bundle. And so that only leaves us with one mystery, and that, of course, is the number two. Okay, so we know that two is not a crowd.
But you said that you always with like a lowest number of any after you get a number.
Correct, but an egged may have a right. You're right. Agreed. But to bundle something together you need to amalgamate a whole bunch of things together. What is that number? So we know one is definitely not. We know three definitely is. Where do we stand on the number two? You probably guessed correctly when you say it's a machlokas. Shnai machlokas. So this is subject to a debate. Rav Yossi v'Rabbanan. Okay, so we're going to learn together Mishnah in Parah. Did not. So we have a Mishnah in Parah. Mitzvah Ezov Shlosha Kalachim Van Shlosha Givolim. So the mitzvah of Ezov is to take three stalks and three buds at the end of the three stalks. Okay, again, we're back to the point in the daf today where I know the words. I'll say the words. I don't even know what a hyssop is. Somebody told me that it's oregano. We get the crushed version, so I don't know the oregano as it grows in its original. But anyway, so the Mishnah in Parah says that you take the Azov and you take three stalks, and each one of the stalks has a givol, has a bud. Now Rav Yossi doesn't seem to argue much. Rav Yossi says, you start with three. Look, you're going to be doing a lot of flipping, a lot of flicking. So by the end of the day, it's going to be, you can imagine that it's going to get worn down. So if you start with three and you somehow only manage now to, you've been using it for a while, and you only have two now, that's fine. And gardumav kolshehu. And even if all you have are just nubs at the end, that's also fine. Okay? So, kasa kadakan, midishayar shnaim tchilaso nami shnaim. Now, there's got to be a debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi, right? There has to be. Right? The way the Mishnah presents itself, as it always does, is that there are two sides. So there clearly are debating. So here now the Gemara is doing a little bit of speculation. And the Gemara is saying, look, Rav Yossi says that you can have shayarim, according to Rav Yossi, you can have leftovers of two. Maybe what that means is, again, this is speculation, that you can also start with two. The Haidiktan is social mitzvah. Now, it's true Rav Yossi says three, but maybe that's just simply to achieve a mitzvah. But that's not ikuv. That's not that doesn't hold you back from the mitzvah of eged. Meaning the definition of eged is two, three is lemitzvah. Again, the Gemara is speculating. This is the Shita of Rav Yossi. Umid Rav Yossi shosh la mitzvah, Rabbanan shosh la akev. And so now, in our speculation, if Rav Yossi says that three is a mitzvah, meaning not an absolute, but just a nicety, a good way to perform the mitzvah, so that means the Tanakhama is arguing, what's his position? It's an absolute. Three is absolutely required. The Gemara now is saying, this is the machlokas, and basically now what we've touched on is to consider an eged. The way the Gemara is now presenting it, Rav Yossi would say, yes it is, and the Tanakhama would say, no it's not. The Gemara says, v'atanya. Alright, but I have another braisa. Rav Yossi, omer ezov t'chilaso shnaim v'sharev echad pasol, v'eno kasha achi hei t'chilaso shlosh v'sharev shnaim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I have a braisa And the Braisi here is recording the position of Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says that if I start off with two, it is no good. And a bundle of Ezov is only good if I start with three. Okay? So, Epoch, L'Rav Yossi, Shlosha La'akev. So the Gemara says, okay, we're still going to be consistent in that they're arguing whether two is a bundle or not. We're just going to flip the shitas. Rav Yossi will say that three is an absolute. And the Chachamim would say three is not an absolute. So the Rabbanan Shlosh LaMitzvah, and it comes out that according to Rav Yossi, three is an absolute. You have to start with three. Yes, it's true that after use, you're down to two. That's fine. And according to the Chachamim, three is not an absolute. You could start with two. V'hatanya, and the Gemara over here now brings a brisa. This brisa supports. Age of Tchlazo Shnayim V'Sherev Echad Kasher. If I start off with two and I end off with one, that's fine. Bein Apostol Shei Tchlazo V'Sherev Echad. And if I start off with one, that's not fine. So the Gemara says Sherev Echad Apostol Hamar Sherev Echad Kasher. Now what do I mean? If I'm left with one at the end, how can the Braisa say that's no good when the Braisa one line earlier said that having leftover of one is fine? Ela Ema Ashei Tchilaso Kishayarav Echad. So the Gemara says, fine. We're just going to edit that last part of the Braisa. The last part of the Braisa just simply means that if I start with one, like I finished with one, that's no good. That's all the Braisa means. But anyway, what comes out now is that according to this Braisa, if I start with two, it works. It's kosher. Who is the author of that Braisa? It must be the Chachamim. We know it can't be Rav Yossi because we just quoted a Braisa earlier that said that Rav Yossi says that you need three to start off with. That's an absolute. That's Li'ikuva. So therefore, I have another Braisa that says that two is fine, even lechatchila, even to begin with. So that must be the position of the Chachamim. Okay, so quickly wrapping up now. So we did today Gzeres Otsar. We saw in the context of our Mishnah, we gave some definitions in terms of what bundling is. We spoke about bundling in terms of natural bundling. That's not considered bundling. We talked about wrapping it up on the other end. That's not considered bundling. We talked about how many need to get wrapped together in order to be bundled. Three is a crowd. Three is a bundle. One is for sure not. Two is a machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. And a little bit of side discussions in terms of using schach that rains down on your sukkah, using schach that has a foul odor, shame levi, using definition of subspecies by Mara, that was a tangent. Okay. We'll continue the Gemara tomorrow. Adkan.